Hey everyone, I'm trying to get to TwitchCon 2018 this year, but I need your help. How, you may be asking? Well, every little bit counts, and we're trying to offset the cost of travel and accommodations through donations on our Twitch channel. So for the next month, we have a goal of $1,000 that we're trying to hit. If you can, head on over to donate.gamertagradio.com to support, and hopefully I'll see you at TwitchCon.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio. This is Danny speaking, and also joining me is Pete. What's going on, Pete?
This is Peter speaking. Hello.
Yeah. What's up? Gamertag Radio episode 804. And this is a special episode because P and I, we're going to talk about Starlink. And we've been playing that game now for like, what, a week? A week or so, right? Has it been a week? Kind of. Almost a week. So we're going to do that. Well, almost a week. To me, it feels like longer because I've been playing that game like nonstop. So, but P actually got the game. What was it? A couple of days ago, Monday, right?
Actually, I got it on Friday, but I didn't want to touch it until I got like the starships and the pilots and everything else. I wanted to have the full on experience, and I also wanted to stream it and do like an unboxing live, you know, for everyone. So they could see it. Oh, okay. We had a really good response with that too. So
cool. Awesome, man. All right. So head over to gamertagradio.com, post your comments and feedback, listen to our past episodes. And yes, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories. By the way, we have an announcement here. Right now, if you're listening to this podcast and starting from this episode and on, you could also listen to us on RadioPublic.com. You could also download the app for iOS and Android. The cool thing, P, about Radio Public that I really, really like, this is a website that I think been around like almost a year. And if you're an independent podcaster, you join there. Every time your listeners is listening to your show, your podcast, that podcaster will get paid. Also, if they, let's say we have loyal listeners that listen to multiple episodes on that app, radiopublic.com, we also get like a bonus money too. So really cool. Make sure to go over there right now, radiopublic.com. Download the app. It's totally free. And you could also send donations through there too, through the app. Right now, the donation feature, I think, is only available for Android right now, but coming soon is going to be on iOS very, very soon. So yeah, once again, go to Radio Public, download the app. It's totally free. Listen to the podcast through there. You'll get notification. Everything the same as other apps, but this time we're going to get paid by you just listening to our show. So that's pretty cool. What do you think, Pete?
It's different. I mean, who doesn't like money, right? But at the end of the day, as long as the message goes out, right? As long as we don't, you know, as long as our audience
for sure
has an opportunity to listen, you know, the more ways that we can reach out and branch out to get the Gamertag Radio, you know, voice, it's all that really matters at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's just, you know, a way to just to support us. But if there's other shows that's part of Radio Public, make sure to listen to their shows through there so they could also get paid, and that's a great way to support independent podcasters, man. I think it's awesome. So
send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Boys seeing this?
Yeah, but it's not Wolf, so who cares?
It looks like they're outnumbered.
You know what I'm thinking.
Absolutely, positively not!
We came here for one reason and one reason only, and that is to take down...
I knew I should have retired back on Cornaria.
So let's talk about Starlink, man. You were the one that actually started the conversation about like, man, guys, you guys got to play this. You guys got to play this. Because you had multiple opportunities that you got hands-on, right, at different events. What was it that stood out to you about Starlink, besides Star Fox, of course? But what was it that stood out to you about the game?
I mean, being a fan of Nintendo, I think helps, right? That link to, and that's not a pun, the link to Star Fox and Fox McCloud and Pippi and Falco and all of them, that's fantastic. But for me anyways, the ability to switch up on the fly without having to go through menus, but to be able to dynamically change the way you play the game by simply swapping out something on your controller. That is what actually caught me on, you know, caught my eye, on top of the fact, you know, obviously being able to do the barrel roll and the whole nine.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I've had this affinity for Star Fox and all this for years. I've been saying it for at least the last 5 or 6 years, give me a new Star Fox. And Nintendo's always been like, no. And it wasn't until, I mean, how, do you remember when we went out to E3, I want to say it was like 5 or 6 years ago, and we got the lady, she was like a contact, and she actually did the Spanish voice translations for Nintendo.
Yes.
Back
yes,
in the day. And I asked her to do, you know, do a barrel roll in Spanish. And I recorded, I have it on a computer, on a hard drive somewhere here in the house. But that was, you know, that goes to show how much I think Star Fox might be my favorite Nintendo character out of all of the characters. But going back to the game, for me, it's a change of pace. And you know as well as I do, for me, change of pace games come very rarely, especially for me. I mean, I think the last time we saw a change of pace game like this was Diablo 3. Right? Something that hooked me and got me to step away from the typical first person shooters and those things. It wasn't until Diablo 3 did, you know, came out that I actually embraced it and, you know, spent way too many hours playing that game. This game has done that for me as well. That's why when we had the opportunity to see it at E3, I jumped at it. When we got to see it last year at E3, I jumped at it. The pre-Gamescom event, I jumped at it because that was one thing that I wanted to spend time on because I loved the premise of it. I loved the history of it. And if you go back and listen to one of the last episodes that we did, I had an interview with Matthew Rose, the executive producer, and he just, the story of how they came about, you know, playing with Arduino circuit boards and messing around. I mean, they showed these pictures of literally circuit boards and USB plugs and cables plugged into like an old Wiimote. And it was just like, man, that is so cool. And that is something that I can jump on the couch and play with the wife. The daughter's already expressed interest in checking it out because her and I, you know, I actually pulled out most of them and put them on the dinner table yesterday. And I went through all of it. The wife was curious about it. So anytime I can share my gaming time with whether it's the wife or the kids, that's a bonus for me, right? Because I'm usually stuck in my office, whether it's work or I'm playing video games and they're out doing their own thing. But whenever I can actually share that passion with them, dude, that's a win-win for me, right? So like Undercooked 2, when we did that a couple of weeks back, the wife and I got to play. And as usually happens with an Undercooked game, overcooked game, you know, things get a little tense and she didn't like that. This game is totally opposite from that. And so I'm waiting for that moment from the wife or the daughter to come in here and we could play the game together. But hey, the action adventure aspect of it, I guess the best way for me to explain it. Oh, wow. See, my dog wants to play it now too.
He's like, yeah, Star Fox, Starlink. What?
I guess the best way to explain this would be, if someone were to ask me what is Starlink. I'd say it's a combination of No Man's Sky because of the space exploration.
Yes.
Maybe Disney Infinity because of the ability to swap toys out and things like that. And obviously Star Fox, right?
And there's one more. Just one more. I will put like a strategy game, like say Advanced Wars or other RTS real time strategy games too. Because remember too, Pete. Yes, we have Star Fox. We have, like you said, No Man's Sky and everything. But when you also take over the planet and you have multiple outposts and you go to other planets, you still have people there fighting against the enemies while you're in a different planet too. You know, so that part I really, really enjoy. So I don't want to say much about the story, but when I'm in like in the planet, I try to take over as much as possible. Once I'm like 100%, that's when I go to another planet and do the same thing. And it's great to do that because it helps you level up, because later in the game, the part that I'm at right now, it is super, super tough. You need to be extremely like high up there with your level, your character, and so on. So, and also you have to like upgrade your ship, weapons, all that in order for you to really go far in the game. In the beginning, it's a little bit easy, you know, and the thing that really stood out to me, I don't know if this is like a Ubisoft thing or what, but a couple weeks ago, I talked about Assassin's Creed Odyssey. It was like a very long intro, and then you see Ubisoft Presents. And it was the same exact thing with this one, man. And it was awesome. The way how it started like an introduction, it was really, really cool. I want people to be surprised when they see it, but it's super, super cool. I know that the developer's been working on this game for a while, right? This is before the whole Nintendo deal. So there's moments in the game that you could tell they just added the characters from the Star Fox crew in there, because there's some parts that they're just standing there while the main characters of the game are talking about like situations going on and so on. Or you see Star Fox, the whole team in the background walking by and so on. So, but there is scenes that is just strictly with the crew only, because they also have like an exclusive story that's only available for the Nintendo Switch. I haven't really gotten really far on that campaign, but I stopped on purpose because I really got into the main story. So once I'm almost done with the campaign, or maybe when I finish, then I'll continue with Star Fox story. So, but so you were going to say something?
Speaking on that, so I know you and I, we chatted the other day, and you were like, I've only used the R-Wing and Star Fox. Have you started switching out to other pilots?
Yes, I'll tell you why I did that. So in the beginning, I was just strictly playing with Fox McCloud the whole time, right? And his ship. So there's a point in the game that I was dying a lot, and I had to, either you have a choice. You could go back and it will go to your last save, or if you switch your ship right there once you die and you have your ship on the side, like the one that got destroyed, you have it on the side, you put the new one, and you could continue from there without going back to your last checkpoint. So that's why I started doing it. I'm like, you know what? My goal was to finish the game with just one ship, but it was just getting difficult, and I had to do that, man. You know, but it's optional. It's not something that you really have to do it. The thing was, there was a part of the game that it was very high level. I was under power compared to the enemies,
right?
And I figure out how to kill them, and that's why I did that. That's the main reason why I started changing it.
So one thing that I realized early on, and I think this happened during my Let's Play with the stream. You know, I was trying to go all R-Wing and all Star Fox. And there was one time in space where I ended up going through, let's see, I have one, two, I have four ships. I went through three of them and I barely made it out alive. You know, that time when you leave the planet for the first time and you have to go to a different planet, right? Mm-hmm. Like, cause I ended up getting into an area, I guess, that I was underpowered and I just had ships coming after me and after me and after me. But each pilot in each ship has their own different abilities and stuff like that. Which of those are your favorite? Like which ship and its special power is your favorite?
You know what? I don't remember the name of it, but there's one.
So I think I know which one it is, right? Because there's five ships in total.
All right, this one. Which one is this one, Pete? Which ship is this one?
That one belongs to Shade.
The Shade. Okay, this is my favorite because it feels fast.
But it's not the fastest one. It's actually like a
It's not the fastest one. But I mean, first of all, I got used to this too. Compared, because I was this actually this was the first ship that I switched once my Fox McCloud's ship got destroyed. I started using this one, and this one goes really, really fast for me because I got used to playing with Fox the whole time. But I never changed the character; it's still the same to me. Have you been changing pilots? Because I've still been using the same one. I've just been changing ships.
I changed the pilots, and there's a reason why, right? So my favorite ship in general is the Judge. And the reason being
I haven't opened that one yet.
You have to, because his special ability is he controls time. So he can freeze all of the characters in an area at the same time while you have free movement. This is one of the ones.
Wait, you're talking about like his the weapons that comes to the ship? Yes. One of them stops time?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting. Because you know,
I can see the gears turning down.
Yeah, I know. The thing is, I really like the weapons like this, like ice, and the other one is like fire. It's like perfect for me. I've been using that the whole time. The whole time I've been using it.
Right. The ship that you like is called the Nader, and it belongs to Shade. And then, it does have speed, but not as much as the other ones. That's the one that's got like a skull in the back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Look right here.
Yeah. Yeah. That one belongs to Shade. My favorite is I can't remember the name of it. And like, I don't want to like keep stopping the show to pull things out.
Yeah, you know what? It's hard. It's a lot of toys. Nah, but I'll call it toys. P said, don't call it toys. It's a lot of ships. It's a lot of
starships and weapons. But my favorite one, my favorite combo is it's a purple gun. You know, I think it's the one that's got like a purple circle in the back or a purple globe in the back. I always keep that one on the left, and it's kind of like a void weapon because it shoots out like an arc ball that causes a black hole that sucks everything into it. And then I'll just swap back and forth depending on the resistance of the enemies from fire to ice. Mm-hmm. And then, because when you shoot into it, it creates what's called a vortex, and it increases the crit damage done to whatever enemy gets hit with it. So I'll just launch the void ball into it. I think it's called an impulse or something like that. But I'll launch that, start shooting it with ice or with fire. It increases the damage of it, and then I just sit back and watch the damage happen. So it's really, really cool.
I know this game is available also for Xbox One and PlayStation 4, but Pete, I don't know about you, man. This is a really good-looking game for the Nintendo Switch. Plus, there's no loading time. Like, once it loads and you're in there, unless you do fast travel, because, yes, right there, you have to load the game. But if you're just flying from planet to planet and so on, there's no loading time at all. It's smooth. I'm very, very impressed. I don't know how Ubisoft put it off. But man, graphically looks really good for Nintendo Switch, man.
Yes, it
does. Beautiful, beautiful.
No, no, no. It's amazing. And the stream that I did the other day does not do it justice. But it's crazy how they've done it, how they're able to do it. I will say my only nitpick I would say with this game It's not really with the game. It's actually the control scheme of the Nintendo Switch. Having played it on both Xbox and the Switch, I can tell you that playing it on the Xbox controller is much easier to deal with. And I don't know if that's just because of my familiarity where the ABXY buttons are, but if this is, and I don't know if Ubisoft would even be open to doing this, but if they could allow the user to swap button functions, like have custom mappings so that I could swap my AB and my XY buttons to mm-hmm. something more traditional, I'd be so much more impressed. And again, that's a nitpicky. If I'm concerned about a control scheme and not the gameplay, hey, I think you've got you really can't complain at that point.
There was reviews that were saying that a lot of the missions and things that you do in the game is repetitive. I really mm-hmm. didn't find it that way. I don't know about you, Pete, but I think the issue that I had with the game at first, and maybe it's just me, and I think I mentioned it to UP and in Paris in our private chat. I was like, is it me or I really didn't care much about the main characters of the game at first? Now I do. But at first, maybe it's because of the whole Star Fox thing. You know, it took me a while. Yeah, it may be because of that. But I was like, you know what? Let me give it a chance. And I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it a lot. It's a very cool game, man, for the Switch and also for the other consoles. But another thing, too, that I like about this, too, Pete, is the co-op, local co-op. You have two ships. You mm-hmm. can play it, local co-op. The only thing is you can't go too far from each other because then I think the second player will go where the first player is at. So, yeah, you got to be a little bit close. Not too close, so, you know, you'll be okay. I feel personally I like to fly when you're like in different planets instead of the outer space. Outer space is cool and all. But when you find like one of those like ships that has a lot of enemies and they're going after you, it could get a little bit chaotic, I think. And it's a lot easier to control and to battle with the enemies once you're like in different planets and stuff. So your thoughts? You think you feel the same or no?
That is more of a mechanic of real space flight. I guess because people see, like, let's say Star Wars, and they see how the X-Wings and the TIE Fighters, how those things maneuver mm-hmm. in space, and they yeah. assume that every starship in space is going to be able to maneuver like that, and it's just not true. You just don't turn on a dime. You know, granted, this is a fantasy game, right, at the end of the day. And maybe it's just a ship. Maybe because you're on the Nader and you're not on the R-Wing or you're not on the fastest ship in the game.
Could be that too.
You know, maybe that's why you don't find the maneuverability. It's there. But like I said, maybe the determining factor on that is which ship you're on. I would say swap mm-hmm. it out to,
I've been doing it.
It's remember, the one that's the E19 or something like that. It's the red and silver one. That's the most maneuverable or the highest performing, you know, ship in mm-hmm. the arsenal. So, do that. I would say also make sure that you're updating or upgrading the different components of your main station. Okay. Because that actually unlocks other things within the game.
Yeah. And it's important to do that. It's really, really important. And also, I've been upgrading my pilot too. I think that's also important to do that.
Yeah. It's called the Lance. It's the red and silver one.
Lance. Okay. See, I can't keep up with the names of the ships.
You boys seeing this?
Could use a little help here.
She's not gonna make it.
It looks like they're outnumbered.
You know what I'm thinking. Let's be honest here. You guys need all the help you can get.
Seems like that Fox guy has made some friends.
Oh?
They're headed to your place on Tundria now.
Good.
Let's rock and roll, boys.
Fox.
Thanks.
Bogey down. Do a barrel roll.
Voice acting is great. I love the music. And there's moments in the game that I don't know if I will call them a boss battle or mini boss battles, but it's very, like, the music in there is so, so good. But then when you could also use your power up, your power, where you call like the Star Fox team to also help you out. Then you hear like the original song from Star Fox and in the background dun, 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 while you're like battling.
Yeah.
And this, and they're only there for like a couple minutes or so, and then they'll leave. But once they're there, they're helping you out too, and they're also shooting like the different enemies and so on. So when it gets really, really challenging, dude, I use that power all the time,
That's it, helps out. And that's a very critical part of the upgrade process. There's one where that upgrades your abilities when you're in close proximity with the rest of your mates in space, or whenever you're in fighting, because doing that allows your character to actually perform better. And then it's kind of like a teamwork buff where, you know, since you're with them in battle, everybody gets boosted up and goes in. Telling you, man, the game is a problem. It's a surprise hit.
I have to say something because I did a little research about this game, and I'm not going to say what, like, where in the game that this is a part of the story about Star Fox, that they mentioned something in the game that place that they mentioned was only available and only mentioned once in like a special comic book edition for like Nintendo Power or something like that years ago, back in the early days of Star Fox. All the games that came out after that, they never mentioned that at all. It was only on that comic of Nintendo Power. Ubisoft, the developers of Ubisoft, added that into the story.
An Easter egg.
Of the game. And the what?
It's like an Easter egg.
Yes, an Easter egg. But if you're not like a really hardcore fan of Star Fox, you would not even notice that at all, man. You know, so I had to like I did some research. I'm like, yo, this is crazy. That's how dedicated Ubisoft was, like, having Star Fox in this game. They really wanted to make it special, and especially for like the really hardcore fans of Star Fox. Dude, that was like super cool that they added that nice little Easter egg there, man.
Yeah, it's
really cool.
On top of it being an Easter egg, it's more, I think things like that reward you for spending time developing each of the characters in game, right? Because everybody, like you said, you know, I'm guilty as charged as well. But going back to what you said earlier about the whole playing with Star Fox, if you're playing on the Xbox or playing on PlayStation, I think it would be easier for you to jump into the story with like Hunter Haka and things like that, as opposed to people on Nintendo. People grabbing this on the Switch are going to gravitate immediately towards Star Fox and the R-Wing, as opposed to using, you know, Shade or Hunter or any of the other characters. So I'm curious how much that actually takes away from the story.
That is true. Because, you know, that's the thing that I was thinking about the other day. You know, what if this game will come out without Star Fox? Because originally it was announced without Star Fox, you know? So, yeah, right. I agree, man. I totally agree about that.
And it's not a bad thing. I'm not going to complain. I mean, you know, it gets one of my favorite, you know, video game characters, brings it back into this generation of games. And hopefully this isn't the last we hear of Fox McCloud.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I want them to release a sequel. Now that we already got to know a lot about the characters, maybe the next game, they should do it without Star Fox. So the Starlink characters could also shine even more, right? So that's my opinion. I'm really enjoying this game, Pete. I think this game is really dope, man. I honestly thought that this game was going to be kind of like like a Star Fox type game. I was not expecting this to be like a No Man's Sky. The reason why we said this is because, one, you're traveling a lot. Two, when you're like in a different planet and you're driving around, flying around, there's going to be species there that you need to scan them, and you have to scan multiple times, like different, the same species. And from there, you learn more about them and so on. To me, that was really cool, because I was doing that at first. I was just doing that, Pete. I was just like flying around. I see
exploration.
Just exploring, and I see a species. I'm like, oh, let me scan them. So, yeah, I think now there's an option in the game where it gives you stuff that all the stuff that you discover and unlocks. I think I'm like almost completely full right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's how
I haven't even checked that. I have not even checked that to see where I'm at.
But just remember, it's not only stuff that you discover, but it's also planets. It's also the characters you get to meet in the game. Mm-hmm. It's just a combination of all that stuff. So, yeah, it's like almost completely full of my game, man. Yeah, that's how much I've been playing this game, man. It's super cool, man. So dope.
Now, I have a question for you, because I know I've been watching you streaming and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it was a mistake to launch at or around the same time as Call of Duty Black Ops? Because that's the big elephant in the gaming room.
No, two different crowd, man. The very, very different crowd. Remember, too, Call of Duty is more for like the older crowd. This, to me, is the perfect game. Like you said, Pete, you want to play this with your wife. You want to play this with your daughter. This is a great game where you could just play with your kids, man. I honestly would not play Call of Duty in front of my nephews, right? But they've been asking me about Starlink. They want to know about the game. I told them, hey, come over the weekend. They're going to try it out. And that's the thing that I love, man. It doesn't have to be every single game has to be a shooter, you know? So this is why I really enjoy this game. Actually, I got back from LA, I think it was Sunday. I started playing Starlink for days. Didn't even touch Call of Duty. Today I just started playing Call of Duty. Today. That's how much I really, really love this game.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I was just curious, because having this holiday launch window, you know, between Call of Duty and obviously you have Battlefield coming up, mm-hmm. and everything else in between. And for Ubisoft to launch a brand new IP, a different IP, you know, because it's different from their typical, you know, land-based exploration, fetch it type games. If you look back, Far Cry, Assassin's Creed, I don't want to say they're cookie cutter, but they share a lot of the same similarities in game and level design. So to have a game such as this, which if you really take it down to its bare essentials, it kind of is, you know, it has those, you know, go here, fetch it, come back here, go there, come back, fetch it, keep exploring the land until you've completely explored it, then move to another area. Same more or less concept. And that's a recipe for success that Ubisoft has done for years. Mm-hmm. And obviously, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But because it's basically a brand new IP, I'm curious if because they were able to partner with Nintendo and bring over the Star Fox, the Star Fox characters and have that link to the legacy Nintendo characters, I'm curious if that was enough for Ubisoft to say, you know what? Yeah, we think it could survive in and of itself because it's a different IP. It has that link to the Nintendo legacy character of Star Fox and all them. We think it's going to be a strong enough, you know, IP to launch within this, you know, holiday season.
Yeah, yeah. Because I learned about this years ago. I think it was like in 2008 or so. I spoke to one of the execs from Microsoft, and I remember during that time there were so many games coming out, a lot of games coming out from Microsoft, first party games, Atlanta was RPG, shooters, action in 1 year. So I remember talking to Paris, like, man, and even Paris mentioned this at the time. We're like, man, do you think that's like too much to come out at the same time? And when we talked to him, to the exec, he said to us, he goes, no, I'm not worried about that, because remember, there's a, all these games is not for everyone. Everybody's going to have their genre. Some people just like shooters. Some people don't like shooters, and they probably just will buy RPG games or action games, or maybe they'll buy everything just because they're just a fan of games. It's the same thing with this, Pete. Yes, this is this came out during the couple of days after Call of Duty, but not everybody has are into Call of Duty, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a different type of game. And like I said, it's for the family. And I think this is great, man. Like, you honestly, look, you could either, let's say you buy this game. You don't need to buy all these ships. You don't. You could just buy one, and you could completely finish the game from start to finish just using one ship. I think you could also do the same playing it digital. It's a little bit difficult, of course. But yeah, you could play the game, the whole thing, without the ships too. So this experience of changing ships is totally, totally optional. It's not something that you need to get in order to like unlock new locations and so on. Because that's the difference between this game and the other games like that from Activision, Skylanders and all that, that you needed, you need to buy those toys in order for you to unlock like a certain level or something like that in the game. You don't need to do that with this one at all. You could play this from start to finish. So yeah, I know I completely changed the subject about this and Call of Duty, but yeah, it's the truth, man. It's the truth. Like, I think we're us, like, when we have conversations about this, like, we're still stuck about like, whoa, they shouldn't release and this. Nah, because you know what? Ubisoft, they're confident. They released it. They'll be fine. And remember, too, it came out now. A lot of people are probably going to see this during the holidays, especially during Black Friday, and they're going to buy it. Especially the parents, man, you know?
So that's actually going to lead me to my next question about this for you, because I'm curious. I know you don't have kids, but obviously you've got nieces and nephews, mm-hmm. Mia and all of them. Do you think $75 is a really, really steep entry point for the Nintendo Switch starter pack? Because yes, it gets you the game. It nets you the game, mm-hmm. which is a regular price, but it also nets you the exclusive R-Wing mm-hmm. and Star Fox and Fox McCloud characters.
So the game is $59.99. Mm-hmm. So if you actually think about it, $74 is not that bad for a starter kit. If you actually think about it, because the game is only $59.99. Now, a person that I know, my brother, he's really curious about this game. He probably is going to wait until later to actually buy this, like, for the kids, for my nephews and stuff. But I think it's too expensive if you buy just the digital game, in my opinion, because you're not really getting the experience. And also, you're only paying like, what, $20 extra for the ships and the stuff that comes in that starter pack, especially for the one that we got, Pete, right? The Nintendo Switch version is the ship, two pilots, and the mods for your ships, and plus the game. That's not bad. If actually think about it, that's not bad for a starter package.
Right. You get Star Fox, mm-hmm. you get Fox McCloud, you get Mason Rana, yes. you have two pilots. You get the R-Wing, you get the Frost Barrage and Flamethrower weapons. Mm-hmm. But if you want other things, and also you get the controller mount. You also get the controller mount for this
one. Now, how much is the ship separate? The starter package is perfect. I think that's okay, it's fine. I find it cheap compared to other games.
Right. So the starter pack is $75. The Battle for Atlas controller is $20.
So wait a minute. But that comes with it.
Right. It comes with it. But if you want like another spaceship, like let's say the Cerberus,
yeah,
it's $25.
Ooh, okay.
So each ship with a pilot is $25.
So if I, okay, let's say I buy the game digitally.
And also there's a start, there's a starter pack for each platform. So, and it's $75
each
time.
Okay.
So
now,
and correction here, I'm looking, oh, sorry, yeah, that's on eBay, but no, right. Yeah. It's $24.99 for the Starship pack with a pilot. Mm-hmm. But if you wanted, let's say, the PlayStation 1, it'd be $75. You want it for Xbox, it's $75. You want it for Switch, it's $75. That each one of those comes with two pilots, one ship, and the controller adapter, because you need to put the adapter on so you can fit on your pilots and stuff like that.
That package is cheap. Am I right, P, or no? Or if you actually, like, because you mentioned the adapter for your controller separate, just that alone, is $20?
Yes. Oh, and if you wanted just like weapon mods, it's $10 each. Yeah. So if you wanted to go and get like a specific, like the Crusher or Iron Fist, because, and I always remembered Iron Fist because it was, you know, obviously it's, you know, the name is similar to a Marvel character. But if you were to start bundling all of these things together, it starts to add up.
Oh yeah, of course. But like I said, you don't really don't need to buy everything. I personally think that if you just buy the starter pack, that's it. You're good. In my opinion, for me,
Right.
Yeah, we just got lucky that, you know, Ubisoft sent us everything, you know, for us to try it out and talk about on the show. But personally, for me, I'll stick with the starter pack, especially if you have a Nintendo Switch, go with that. Now, if you buy the that game digitally and you buy everything separate, then yeah, it is going to be kind of expensive, man, doing it that way. So.
But also remember, like you said earlier, they're not required.
Oh, it's not
a requirement to go and get all of the ships and the weapons. If you wanted to, you can get them digitally, but it's not necessary to play or participate in the game. You can do everything with the ships that you get from launch.
Look, you want a good experience? Buy the starter package. Go with that, man. In my opinion, go with that.
Now, aside from getting the Fox McCloud and the R-Wing, If that wasn't a thing, if that wasn't part of the package, right? Let's say there wasn't an R-Wing and Fox McCloud exclusivity for the Switch. Mm-hmm. Would you still get it on the Switch, or would you have gotten it for Xbox or PlayStation?
That's a great question. I think I would have gone for the Xbox or other consoles. I'm telling you, it was the Star Fox announcement that changed my mind. I was like, well, Nintendo Switch it is. That's it. Because not only that, it has an exclusive campaign in there. And guys, when I say this, Star Fox is not in this game like, oh, a little cameo and that's it. No, it's like the main part of the game, because he's there from the beginning to the end of the campaign. He's there talking to the Starlink crew. He's there with his team. Again, side missions too, conversations that they're having in the game. Dude, it's more than just a short cameo. It's more than that with Star Fox. That's why I feel like if you plan to get this game and you have a Nintendo Switch and you have the other consoles, I will get this one, because to me, it has a little bit more extra content than the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 versions, because they added in Star Fox in there, you know. And don't get me wrong, you let's say you get the Xbox One version and the PlayStation 4 version, you're still gonna have a lot of content there. I'm just saying that this is a little bit more extra, in my opinion.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
And I think wow, that was a very long review, right?
We did it justice.
Yeah, but look, man, I truly, truly like this game. This game is really dope, man. It's awesome. And honestly, like, I didn't really want to like see any like gameplay footage or anything. I was just getting the opinion from you, Pete. Like, you've been hype about it. You played it multiple times, and you're like, "Yo, I can't wait for this game to come out. I can't wait." And now that you got it, and I got it now too. Oh man, this game is legit. This game is legit. Love it. So, anything else, Pete, before we wrap it up?
No, I think we did it. I think we did it justice, dude.
All right, one more time, Pete. I know there's people that are asking how they could donate because TwitchCon is in a couple of days, man. So how can people support you?
9 days. Actually, yeah. Next Thursday, I will be flying out. If you want to donate, you can go to donate.gamertagradio.com. You can also, if you're watching it on Twitch, go down to the panel that says donate, and that'll take you straight on over your other opportunity. I think, Danny, you mentioned it earlier, was Radio Public.
Yes, Radio Public. That day, by the time you guys listen to this episode, I think that's when they're going to start adding tips where people could donate through the app while you're listening to Gamertag Radio, the podcast. Or if you're listening to the podcast, right, we also will get paid. That, I think by the time you listen to the episode, it's going to go live.
Okay. So it won't get it. And if you're watching the stream on the lower left hand side, there's a TwitchCon goal that, you know, adds up as we get donations and such. Anything through Radio Public won't be reflected here. This is directly going through Twitch and our partnership with Stream Labels. But yeah, if anybody's interested in helping out, I think Danny plays the bumper at the beginning of the show.
Yep.
Anything you guys want to do to help me, help us offset the cost of getting out there? You know, it's never required, but it's always appreciated. And you know, shout out to Beaker last week. I know it's not something we typically do. I'm breaking the fourth wall here, but Beaker went out crazy, dropped $100 bono on Monday when we're doing the unboxing and live stream let's play of Starlink. So
nice. Thanks, Beaker.
You don't have to drop a monster like that. You know, you want to drop 10 cents, 50 cents, a bit, doesn't matter. Any little bit helps. But yeah. And hey, shout out to Ubisoft again for, you know, sending us out these care packages with the starships and the pilots and stuff like that. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun, and I'm so glad that you guys are finally able to check out the zany fun that I've been you know, clamoring about for the last year and a half. You know, I've seen the potential in this, and that's exactly why I made mention of that similarity to how it's pulled me away from my normal gaming, similar to the way Diablo 3 did many years ago on the Xbox. So I'm still saying it, dude.
Yeah.
That's a good ship, but the Lance is still my personal favorite. That and the Judge. Yeah. The Judge is just anything. Yeah, whenever you can affect time, hey.
Yeah.
If comic book writers can do it, so can you.
Actually, I'm going to play the game maybe tomorrow morning. Oh, by the way, I know that we have a lot of games. Actually, they sent me the For Honor DLC expansion pack. They sent me that. Also, the Jackbox Party 5. Also, I got that. I would love to do game night, Pete, through here.
Okay.
Live stream on Twitch. We get all of our listeners and we all play. Everybody could play it from home just using their tablet or mobile devices, and we could all play it together, man. That would be cool. I'll let you know because I've been trying to stream through the app, but I have to wait for the developers to give it the okay to Microsoft for me to and everybody else. We're like allowed to actually stream from the app. You could stream it if you have a PC, of course, but I can't do that. So, but yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to check that out. Also, very quick, yo, Pete, I know everybody's talking about Blackout and the multiplayer of Call of Duty, but yo, zombies, this game, zombies, woo, yo. Legit. Holy crap, it's so good. So, so good. Challenging. Music. Love the story. On the levels that are in there. There's also added some new modes in there that's called Rush, where there's four people. You go to different locations, still killing zombies, But whoever gets the highest score wins the whole game. So that's really cool. I like that. And also, you could play the old school classic way if you want. That's optional too. So, but yo, Zombies Hooked, level 21, I think right now I'm at.
Yeah, I was watching you play earlier. I was yelling at my screen for some of the stuff you were doing, and hey, I was yelling at my computer.
Hey, it's all good. It's all good. All right, so head over to GamerTagRadio.com and listen to our episodes there. You can listen to our show on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and now Radio Public. Go right now and download the apps and listen to the show and spread the word. All right, until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.